Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Nazra Korbel and Laura Lang, the fabulous, on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Oh. And thank you for that fabulous introduction.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I do as I'm told. Now, it's you, audience, I don't think you realize the treat you're in for today. This is the first time that we're having two guest co-hosts in the studio, and that's because these women are such a dynamic duo that I couldn't even consider having them separately. And so
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. So you're welcome in advance.
I always start the show by telling people how we met. And so I met Nazra first, and randomly enough, it was in a Taekwondo class for our children. And I'll never forget when I met Nazra because my oldest son saw her daughter, and I've never seen my son look so hopelessly in love in my life. And that was all she wrote. And so we connected. We hit it off immediately.
And our kids are engaged.
And our kids are our betrothed. Yes. And the best part that came out of getting Lana and Nazra, I guess the second best thing that came out of that, was meeting Laura,
Ooh.
Who we then went on to have coffee on the Upper West Side,
that's right.
And that's all she wrote. And so these women are just so incredible. Nazra is an artist, an activist, and a performer. She envisions power, freedom, rights, and protection for all women. And she's rocking out today in a shirt that says, "Women are our heroes." Check it out in the Ooh. In the photos from the podcast. And yeah. Laura is a well-rounded
singer. Laura's wearing a boring dress. Very boring.
I like that dress. If that dress had something written on it, it would say, "I'm fabulous all the time."
It would say, "I really should be locked up."
I told you you were in for a treat today.
Fashion police. I honestly think she looks fabulous.
She looks stunning. And as you can hear, she's a well-rounded senior executive with a proven record of success in beauty, fashion, and technology. And what I love about her is that she calls herself the chief mood booster. So you're in for a treat. Ladies, in a few words or less, please tell us a little bit more about yourselves.
I'll let Nazra go first.
That's very
generous. I'm that kind of friend.
Yeah. I'm a single mom, moved here to New York 6 years ago from France. I'm a singer-songwriter. I don't sing as much as I wish to, but I love writing. I mean, that's how it all started. I'm with writing poetry when I was 11 years old. And I can't believe that it got me the situation and documents and having a new life in New York, a place I never dreamt of
Amen.
Living in. Yeah, I'm very lucky. I made family.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, so this is, yeah, basically this is my story.
And you've sung with some pretty big names too, haven't you?
I was really fortunate because I started in a place where, in Dubai, where there weren't many female songwriters. So I was writing songs in Arabic, in English, and then later on in France. So there wasn't many people who could alternate and jump and change lyrics between these three languages, and that's what was my specialty.
That's amazing. And yeah. You can also relate to
yes.
the songs that you're singing.
Yes
a Excellent. Lot of pain there,
a lot of pain but also a lot of love. Pain
yes.
and love.
Yes.
And Laura, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, by day I'm an insurance lawyer. Don't be jealous.
You make insurance fun, I'm sure of it.
It's impossible. I've tried, I promise you. That's why I'm almost unemployed. And by night, I am a mother to two yes. lovely teenagers yes. and a wife to a very interesting young man. Yes. And a mother to a cat that tends to have OCD and has bulimia. But other than that, we're rocking it out in New York City, having yes. an interesting time. Trying to make everything work, trying to keep busy intellectually, keep busy socially, trying to raise kids in a very complex time, and trying to do it with a smile and laughter.
And you're both succeeding. And so For those of you tuning in for the first time, you can simply call our hotline to leave a message, asking a question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you, and you could really appreciate someone who's not invested in the outcome kind of weighing in on it. With a co-host, and today with two co-hosts on the air for the first time, we will play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do if we were in your situation. So what are you waiting for? Without further ado, we will play the first message for you.
Can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
Can't wait.
You have one message.
Hi, this is Teresa. My question is, how do you manage returning from maternity leave to a very demanding job and make time for it all? I see these women who look at, like, they make it look like it's so easy, and I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I feel so overwhelmed just with my responsibilities at home, and now I'm trying to figure out how to do it when I get back. And how do you manage both of those, and how do you have time still for yourself and for your husband? Any advice that you could give or tips would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
I have such good advice.
Oh, let's hear it.
Because I've been there, done that. So first of all, the most valuable tool you have is to outsource. You have to make sure you have great childcare options, whatever they are. If you can afford more, get more. If you have family members who are willing to help out, get them on board. You need help. You need someone you can trust who's going to be reliable. If it's daycare, if it's a nanny, you have to start that as soon as possible. Get that in place so that you can dedicate your free time away from your child to your career. And then when you come home from work, you got to give yourself a break and understand that you're only human and there's only so much you can do. But try as much as you can to spend the time with your child wisely and read to them, give them a bath, do whatever you can before you collapse into bed at night and just sheer exhaustion. And just keep in mind that before you know it, they will be grown and will not require your help anymore. But this is a very limited amount of time. It's extremely important that you have a plan and that you stick to it and you make sure you make time for yourself and your husband and your mental health and your physical health. And it's exhausting, but the payoff is tremendous.
Oh, I love that. I love that. What do you think, Nazra?
I think mom need, they all need a longer maternity leave. I feel it's not fair. We need longer paid maternity leave.
Definitely in the U.S.,
yeah,
right?
That's true. Yeah, I think Canada has really good.
Yeah, like a year.
A year, I think.
I was very lucky. I had my daughter in France, so I spent a very long time with her, and the government helps you, and the whole system is set up for young mothers to be able to spend the maximum time with their children. I think that's a very important role.
That's really true. I mean,
actually, paternity leave is important too.
Absolutely, because it's
when my husband got paternity leave, I went back for maternity, and I went back to work, and then he took paternity leave. So that was really nice time for him to bond
with the kids
and take on responsibilities, so that I wasn't juggling everything myself.
Exactly.
And I'm happy you said that, because we really do have to promote more of the paternity leaves too. Because I think that when that kind of arose on the scene, folks were like, what? And because no one was really doing it in the beginning, when guys started to take paternity leave, people were like, oh, they're taking paternity leave. And I think it should have been like, no, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
They're taking paternity leave.
To connect and bond with these children.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so what Teresa is saying is that she's so overwhelmed with responsibilities. And I love how you said, Laura, that she needs to outsource. And I think the bigger picture of that is realizing that you don't personally have to do it all. Right?
Absolutely. And it's not fair to any woman or man to think that they could have a career, have childcare under control by themselves and control the house and work out and eat healthy and make sure, you know, everything. And they
keep
have
the relationship going.
You just can't keep the couple relationship going at the same time.
Yeah,
it's too much. And it's not fair to someone to feel that weight of responsibility. And actually, one of the beauties of going back to work eventually after you've finished your leave is that you do have quiet time and downtime and adult time and adult conversation. And that, for me, was a real treat, because by the time I came home and my baby's eyes lit up when she saw me, I was ready to like, oh, I can deal with the baby time. Yeah. I don't know if I personally could have dealt with it 24/7.
It's a lot. And even if you're not going back to work, you still need to have some time for yourself.
Absolutely.
So you still need to have some times where you go out to the gym, or basically that you're not with your child all the time if you can work it out. I'm trying to think of a couple of situations that were just hilarious when I went back to work after maternity leave. And I remember going back to work and just feeling great because I was like, oh, I nailed it. Got here on time, looking good. And then I looked down and I had on one black shoe, one blue shoe.
Of course.
And I was like, how did that happen?
I had an experience when I was nursing in my office with my door closed and I had the pumps on both breasts, very exposed, very sexy. And all of a sudden my boss, who was like an 82-year-old man, threw open the door and the look on his face.
Priceless. I wish there was a camera.
I mean, it just was, he really looked like he died and went to hell. And he just was.
Not heaven, but hell.
He was like, what is that contraption? What are
you? He didn't just walk right out. I would have been like,
He walked out. And then later on, he said to me, how long do you plan on nursing? And I said,
Forever.
I don't believe that's any of your business, but thanks for your inquiry.
Well, you know, these days they have like the open office setting. Yeah. So a lot of offices have that. And in my last job, I know that we had the glass. And so, and then there weren't any curtains or anything. Wow. And so I was like, how am I going to do this? And they had, you know, mother's rooms or wellness rooms. But that was kind of a hassle because you had to then
leave the
desk and plan it out. And if someone was late, then that affected your time. And so we ended up getting one of those sort of accordions, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
And it was really great because we could put that up and then whoever needed it after me could use it. And so it worked. But of course, it meant that everyone knew when you were pumping.
They
right?
know those breasts are exposed.
They knew they were
and they're all salivating and excited.
Or traumatized.
Well,
a little more information they probably wanted. But you know what's interesting is trying to figure out what to do, how to manage it with work. She said with responsibilities at home. And what I really liked that she said was outsourcing it. And there was a time when I just remember my mom always giving me so much great advice, but always saying, you know, you should always try to have dinner for your family when you come home, like have dinner ready for them.
Exactly.
And so there was a point when I realized that I didn't have to physically make that dinner,
absolutely,
that I could order it. And living in New York City is so easy because, you know, now these days there's Uber Eats and there's Seamless. There's so many different ways.
But if the best advice, if you can find a nanny that cooks.
Yes, yes,
yes. I had you 1 month where my husband was literally beaming. We had a nanny that was an amazing cook. And then she allegedly developed an allergy to our cat after a month.
Oh.
And disappeared and apparently went for more money, which I would have given her more money if she had approached me honestly and just said, you know, I really could use more money. And I would have gladly, because she was cooking for us, it was such a delight. But I didn't like the fact that she lied. And
at that point,
I wasn't going to negotiate with someone who was watching my children. And
no.
But
what I like about that is that finding someone who can do more than one thing. And so someone who can watch the kids and cook, or someone who can, you know, do this and that is really useful. And so when you're interviewing people, see what are they a teacher? Could they also help with like education?
Right.
And so that's a good way to think about
it. Also a different language.
Different language is good. And one of the things that's interesting is when you interview some people, sometimes people say, I love to cook. And when the kid's napping, it gives them something to do. And you can incentivize them by saying, you know, we're going to buy extra groceries so that you can bring a portion of it home to your family.
Yeah.
So then you've already made dinner for your family.
That's perfect. It's a win-win.
So then they're getting free groceries. You're getting extra food, delicious food. You come home. You don't have to think about it.
That's perfect. So think about that too, Teresa, just thinking about ways that you can get some more help at home and having someone who can cook or who may be able to work in different languages with your kids. I know that I've always had someone who can help my kids with various languages,
exactly,
which is really great. And it's always so impressive to put them, you know, out there and ask them questions in a different language, and they shine for you. But they do have those moments where they're looking at you like, Mom, what are you talking about? And they're like, you're like, don't embarrass me right now. Don't embarrass me. And then also trying to figure out how to have time for yourself. I want to know from you, ladies, what do you do? What's your self-care? What's the one thing you have to do for yourself? Let's say at least once a month. Of course, I'd love to hear once a day, once a week, but at least once a month.
I can give you a once a day.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, especially in the winter. Okay. I take a bath every single night. and I shut the doors and I have my candles and I have my mood music, and it's my time to sweat and get rid of the day's worries and the subway odors.
Oh, the subway.
Yeah, just everything. And I decompress. And it's for me, I can't go to bed without taking my bath.
That's a great way to relax. Nice. I really love that. Good. That's fantastic. And what about you, Nazra?
I wish I could fit in my bath. I mean, like, I don't have to my legs.
You got to pick what part of your body to bathe.
Listen, don't complain to me about your gorgeous height. Yeah. Please. But, I feel for you.
But
must be hard being tall and beautiful.
I wouldn't know.
You do know.
So, 6 o'clock sometimes before, and that 1 hour is for me. Before I wake up my daughter to get her ready. So that's when I shower, if I want to put a mask, if I want to color my hair, because I do color my hair at home. That's my moment. And once a month, I go and I do my gel for my nails, so I don't need to worry about my nails.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
My best advice also to Teresa, don't be so hard on yourself. Yeah. Because it's very hard to do everything at all the time. You're going to have good weeks, bad weeks, good months, bad months. Exactly. And at the end of the day, your kid will be much better off that you're human and you're just
normal. Yeah, natural.
They see that, you know, you have a bad week, a bad month, a bad day or whatever, and you just bounce back and you just keep trying.
It's so true.
And if you can make baby steps, you know, okay, it was a bad month. I didn't have dinner on the table. I didn't get to the gym or whatever. Next month, I'm going to make sure I do it once.
Yeah.
And the following month, twice. Exactly. And baby steps.
Baby steps. And realistic goals. I think sometimes we write a to-do list that has 97 items on it, and they're only, 1,440 minutes in a day? Yeah. And so, like,
are
when
there
are you
that
gonna,
many?
I think so.
I know. 525,000.
That song from Rent, right? Minutes. We had someone in the studio, Margot, who was in in Rent. So,
love
very cool.
Show.
And so, the only other question that you had, Teresa, that I'll address was, you know, what do you do to have time for your husband? And I'll say this.
Forget about him. Who needs him?
If you can't forget about him.
He already gave you what you needed him for. I mean, after that, what good is
he? I have a lot of sex. It helps relationships. I'm single, but when I was in a relationship, we had a lot of sex. When the sex stops, relationship stops.
Well, definitely have to find time.
It's good for you. It will put your belly and everything in place. You'll be tired.
Like belly dancer.
Yeah. Your uterus comes right back.
Uterus comes right back and it's healthy.
Don't do what I
and
do
you have that
and
sex
get
glow
pregnant
in the
right again when your baby's 4 months old.
Yeah, but you have that glow. When you have sex, you have that glow. So
it's good for your skin. It's good self-care.
And a woman is really beautiful when she's loved.
It's very hard, though, when your baby is on you all day and
that's
you're tired and all of a sudden someone else is touching you and you're like, really?
I mean, have a quickie. It can take 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do, but do
it. You pay the piper.
Yeah.
Gotta pay the piper. Well, when you're not paying the piper, I'll add to that something that worked for me was making sure that we had a set date night. And that no matter what, even if there was a time when we weren't going to be there that day, we would have it another night so that we had a time to connect without work, without kids. Yeah. And we've done that consistently for 12 years.
That's amazing.
And so just don't forget to like make that time, right?
Yeah, you have to make that time.
You
have to keep it going. Love, it's the love what brings a family together.
Absolutely. And so, Teresa, I hope that you found some really good advice based on the great conversation that Laura and Nazra and I have been having. There's so many things you can do to first realizing that you don't have to do it all, that you can find some different hacks to incorporate into your routine, to go easy on yourself, to take baby steps, and to remember that you can always do it again. The next day, you can have a new day to try again to do something. So the next month, you can try it again. So basically, be able to pivot and to reset the clock and to just keep trying. Keep trying. Maybe this didn't work this day, but the next day it might work. Maybe today you'll have on one pair of blue shoes and one pair of brown shoes. And the next day you'll get it right.
Exactly. Or not.
Or not.
And that's okay.
Because
guess
totally
what?
Okay.
Before you know it, the kids are leaving for college and you are going to be home with so much time on your hands. You're not going to know what to do with yourself.
This is so true. So enjoy this time, as Laura said. Enjoy it now. And love yourself, as Nazra said as well. So without further ado, let's go to the second message.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
You have one message. Hi, Damali. This is Christian. I have a relationship-related question. My girlfriend and I have been together for about 3 years, but the last year and a half, we have been living in 2 different states. The distance has been putting a strain on our relationship. So we argue a lot now. We don't see each other often unless it's via FaceTime. I feel like we are growing apart. So I'm 22 right now. Do you think I should keep the relationship or move forward with my, young life? Thank you.
Oh, Christian, what's going on? Wow, 3 years long distance.
That's pretty tough.
That is, I give you a lot of credit.
Yes and no. True love can define any distance and place and time.
I agree.
I'm just wondering why one of them can't make a move and just to try to be on the same turf to see, because I'm sure at this point, the tensions are rising because you miss a call. You're throwing out the garbage. And where were you? I called you. You didn't answer. So I could understand why tensions would rise and you only see each other once in a while. And if they could be on the same turf, I feel like perhaps they either would realize this is it, this is perfect, or this is a disaster. We're better off apart.
Yes.
And you said he was 22, yeah, and so he's trying to figure out what to do. And so it's funny. I like what you said, both of you, about, what's going on, how's it going to work, and then also, true love can defy distance.
Yeah, and they're young.
I dated...
He doesn't sound excited, though. I hate to say it, Christian.
Do you think guys sound excited a lot? I feel like they don't always...
I think a 22-year-old that's having the time of their life with the girl that he's visiting every once in a while, or phone sex, or whatever's going on with them... He sounds a little bit deflated to me for somebody who's young and in love.
Well, can he separate sex and the relationship? Can't he have sex with other people, but she is the relationship?
Oh,
this
no.
is true love.
Here we go.
I think people should separate sex and relationship.
Well, we don't even know if they're having sex or not.
We have no idea.
Yeah. Well, maybe they could be virgins.
Yeah, we have no idea. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, to me, when people call in and always think that means that they're really thinking about it, because it would have been easier to just kind of call and say, let's talk about the relationship. But he's like, I need some outside advice. And so go back to when you were 22. And think about
there.
I mean, it's been 3 years.
I don't know. I feel like I feel like if you're questioning something at 22, bye-bye.
I think
you're too young. There's too many fish in the sea.
But he's not that kind of person. Otherwise, he wouldn't be calling.
I know. I want to see Christian. Yeah. Are you available, Christian? Let's go meet for a coffee. I mean, he sounds like such a good fella.
Three years. That's a long time. Three years is a long time.
Hardworking.
Yeah,
22.
You're either in a relationship and you're already committed, or you're completely partying and having the time of your life. I mean, you should. Before, a certain age.
I don't know. I mean,
So 22, I mean, think about that. He said 3 years. So what is that, 19 they started?
Yeah.
And so maybe, who knows, in the beginning, I don't know if they were in the same
school,
place and they moved
school.
Apart. But it sounds like there's something that they're holding on to because 3 years is a long time, especially at 22.
Hang in there. See it out.
Yeah, so what is some...
Long-distance relationships can be easy or hard, depending. But the easy thing is you don't deal with... when you live with somebody, you deal with them leaving the toothpaste open, the toilet seat up, snoring, it's like day-to-day operations.
Yeah, but when you're in love, you don't see any of that.
Oh, yes, you do. That? I see those things.
Really? Because you're married for 12 years, it's
you
different.
Can love more than
but
one
in the
person.
Beginning, when you're 22, everything is okay.
Yeah, it's young love.
Younger love.
From my personal experience, sometimes first love is very hard to separate from, because you don't think anyone will ever feel this way about you, and you won't feel this way about anyone else. But guess what? Just like this woman fell in love with you, Christian, the next woman will fall in love with you too.
So
and vice versa.
Well, why do you want to separate?
I just think if they can't be in the same state, in the same town, to really give it a chance. I think Christian needs to explore his...
Yeah, but he's only 22. Maybe one of them is finishing college or something, and then they can meet. Yeah, you're right. They should...
But he said the past year and a half, they've been having tension.
It's been tough the last year and a half.
That's a long relationship.
Maybe one of them want to see other people as well.
But he's asking for some tips on what to do. And so what kind of tips would you give him? So thinking more of how can we help him as opposed to how can we break them up?
Have more sex.
So, they may not be having sex.
And if they're apart, what are some things? She said they FaceTime, they talk, but that's not enough. So one of the things that I heard you say was you know, like, if what about one person coming to the other? Yeah. So how can we increase the frequency of them being together?
The visits.
So we have no idea where they are. Yeah. I don't know if they're like different continents, different states. What if they're just like Brooklyn and like upstate New York? We have no idea what distance means for them.
And we also don't know what their restrictions are on moving or, you know, if someone has to be home because they're caring for a parent or something, you know, we don't know. So
if they're in college or working.
Love needs sacrifice. I'm very romantic.
Yeah, you really are. Yeah. It's really.
I believe in true love.
For somebody who's alone.
Yeah.
You really are.
That's why I'm alone.
I know. You're so romantic for somebody who has no interest in being in a romantic relationship.
I believe in ultimate love. It's like if love comes with a lot of work, hard work and sacrifice. And if you're not able to do that, you're a self-centered person. I didn't say anything.
Oh, boy.
And maybe you shouldn't be in that relationship.
I hear what you're saying. One thing I have to say is an adult who's been married for 15 years and who's surrounded by other adults who have been married for several years, relationships are hard enough when they start off perfectly.
True.
If you're starting off with problems and you're young, I say you have nothing invested other than time and your heart.
Move on.
I feel like, you know, there's no children involved, I assume. There's no, I don't think they bought real estate together. You know, it just sounds to me like this is really the easiest time. And there's nothing wrong with saying, can we take a break for a month? And they may, after that month, say, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'm madly in love with you. I need you back in my life. I will make that sacrifice. I will move.
Yes.
So why not give it a break, 1 month, and say, let's just cut off relationship for a month. And let's talk in a month. And either we're going to say,
I missed you terribly.
Yeah. I want to make it work. Or, you know what? I'm actually relieved that I don't have to call this person every night and check in on them.
Yeah, or only see you or FaceTime. So I like that. I like the idea of testing, kind of a reality test on the relationship to see, are we still the same? I think, too, something that happens is we grow, we change.
Yeah.
Right? So are you the same person that you were 3 years ago? What has changed in your life, right? Because maybe that's part of the reason that there's a clash. It's not just the fact that you don't see each other, but maybe you've had some fundamental changes to your path, to yourself, right?
That's right. So
I would probably try to figure out why are we having it. It's more than just a distance because, like, to your point, Nasra, when I met Chad, we were both in New York. I went back to D.C. We were separated for 2 years.
Wow,
and one of those years we were married, actually.
Wow.
And I was still in law school in D.C. and he was in New York. But to me, like, it was like great. I could focus on school when I was at school, and then I would see him on, you know, on the weekends or when I was out, and vice versa. He would come to D.C. and that withstood, our relationship withstood the test of time
and distance. That was probably a really special time.
Yeah, and it was two years. And I often forget that it was 2 full years that we were apart.
That's a test.
It's a test. And granted, I was a little bit older than 22, but
not much. By a hair.
But what I like about this conversation, Christian, is that hopefully what you're thinking about is just different ways to look into it, because sometimes it's not what we think it is. Sometimes it's not just the distance, but that's like the low-hanging fruit, if you will.
Yeah.
It could be something else. So have a deeper conversation. And it's tough to have courageous conversations. It's tough to have difficult conversations. But you've invested your 3 years, as Laura said, in your heart. And so maybe start talking to, like, this is a good step, talking to us is a great panel here. And then, too, maybe thinking about talking to someone else who may know you both a little bit better or who doesn't know you at all, you know, who can kind of pick apart a little bit to see, is it because now you were on this one path and you know you're never going to live in the same state and, you know, how long are you going to keep this going? Or is it you've changed? You've just changed.
I always think it's good to shake things up a little and to do something, because this is obviously causing some strife in Christian's life. So if he can do one thing to say, you know, let's get together, let's have a conversation, or let's take a week and not talk, or let's, you know, see each other this weekend and try and sort through this.
Yeah.
And
you know, sometimes, you know, what happens as well, it's like you meet someone and then in some point you don't share the same hopes and dreams.
Your values change.
Well, people grow. That's an age where you're really growing. Some people go into a career path. Some go back to school. Some decide they don't want to go back to school. Some decide they want to travel the world. Some people want to be hippies. Some people want to shave their legs, don't want to shave their legs, get dreadlocks, you know. Yeah.
It's true.
Speaking from personal experience. No, I'm just kidding.
I want to see a picture of you with dreadlocks.
Yeah, it was on my legs. I didn't shave that year, so I dreadlocked my legs. But, you know, that's when I met my husband. He was very fond of that look.
Well, hopefully for both Teresa and for Christian.
Sorry, Christian. No, I went totally the wrong way with that.
But how entertaining. How entertaining. But hopefully for both of our callers today, there's a lot of information that can help you as you're trying to navigate your paths. And please call us back. We always
want
to hear.
Updates.
Yeah.
We want updates.
Yeah.
Christian,
updates.
You want me to talk to your girlfriend?
I will.
Yes. I'm going to set her straight. This is.
And if you're single, I mean, Laura wants to know where you live.
I want all the details.
Yeah, all the details.
All the dirty details.
We need everything on you.
But, you know, so, the good news is you're in a good position. You're young. There's plenty of fish in the sea. But if this works, great. If it doesn't, that's okay.
That's right.
It's okay to be alone, too. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful thing.
And he probably hears this. You're young. You have so much time.
Yeah.
You know,
I haven't read so many books like I do now. I mean, like, I have all me time. It's amazing.
Me time is a beautiful thing. You find out who you are so that you can find the right person.
And that's so true. And so, Christian and Teresa, thank you so much for calling in today. For all of our guests that are listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Nasra, Laura, thank you so much for coming to the studio. What a fun, fun day. I cannot wait to have you back in the studio.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
I have to go buy a sweater so I can keep with Nasra. Yeah. I'm going to buy one that says men are heroes.
Yes. Men are heroes as well.
Yes. I love
some
it.
Some men.
I love it.
Some women.
And I'll have one that says everyone is a hero.
Everyone is a hero.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Oh, I love it. I would try to harmonize, but singing wasn't a talent I inherited, so I'm just going to.
Just call
me. Ooh, Nasra, take us home. Take us home. Yeah. So
I can fly higher than an eagle. Yeah.
Because you are the wind beneath my wings.
Wow. This is a first in our studios. It hopefully will not be a last. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH DR. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.